Okay, two things that I need to get through these surrounding things very quickly before we get on with the talk, because it's critical that at 10 to 12 I want to throw us into doing a bit of a workshop. Some of you, you'll want to avoid it, which is fine, but some of you feel it's worth giving it a go, and let's see if we can get there. The two things I wanted to mention is this. I don't know whether you remember, but about 12 months ago we did a set of sessions about holiness, and we said that the easiest way to understand holiness and not make it something which sort of seems all hair, shirt and crown of thorns is that the best way of understanding it is wholeness. Holiness is wholeness, and wholeness is what we're looking for. You won't find it in any Boots range. You'll only find it as you are willing, and this is the critical thing, doesn't matter how good you are or how bad you are, but as Andy was pointing out, you've got to be ready to change. I loved doing metal work at school. I didn't love doing the engineering bit where you had to measure things, but I loved the whole process of taking a piece of metal, getting it red hot, and then beating the bejabers out of it. The fact they used to allow us to do this when we were 12 or 13, and all we had to do was make sure we'd tucked our ties into our shirts and put an apron on, no other protective clothing or anything, was fantastic. And I can remember us taking old car pistons and whacking them with a hammer, which of course it was also great fun, and then putting them into a crucible and then watching them change shape, standing far too close and watching them change shape, and then dropping this I don't know what sort of pill it was, but it's sort of indigestion pill you dropped into it. It was called a blue pill called a degasser, and it would bubble up and then the scum would come out to the top, and there you were, a group of 14 kids standing around, let me have a turn, and skimming this molten metal off. But the critical thing is, in order for holiness to take place, in order for wholeness to come about, we've just got to be ready to change shape. And the more willing we are to change, the more potential there is for that to happen. And as Julia was saying, it takes a lifetime, because immediately one set of transformations occur, God says, right, that's done, now let's start on the next thing. And you find levels of scum in your life which you never imagined were there. Keeping on, keeping on. So that was one thing. The other thing was, really appreciated Richard and Rolf pushing the boat out a bit this morning. It's one of those times when I would really like to have had a sort of questionnaire that we could put out, which said, just went through, what did this do for you? And not just specifically, was this good, bad or indifferent? Because bear in mind that worship's not about us. And I'm pretty certain that Jesus was fine with it this morning. He thought it was good. But I was interested in the process for us as well, where it takes us, because different people have got different views of what worship is about. And I know Andrew Price was working through with the guys that, as far as he's concerned, the music times have got a secondary role. Of course, the first role is to make God happy. The secondary role is to facilitate people making contributions. Now, I think that's a great thing. It only works, I think, in groups of about 12, because otherwise you get a whacking great queue of people, you know, if it really were, and you can't actually do that. For me, worship is a lot about what we do on Sundays. It's a lot about helping us to become more effective disciples in more areas of our lives. And so it's about the takeaway. And there was a huge amount of takeaway there this morning for us to work with. But I think the thing which impacted me most of all was the fact that that we had a home-written song there as well. You know, that's great. And one of the things that I've got in the back of my mind at the moment from a book I've been reading called Borderland Churches, about churches which are trying to live like we are, right on the edge of what's possible, is that as well as discovering leaders, we need to release the creatives, because as you release the creatives, you end up with all sorts of mess. But not only that, but it actually provides a whole new dimension of church. Now, those were the passing comments I wanted to make, and I just want to pray for our worship guys before I start. Father, thank you for what we're seeing this morning with Rolf and Richard pushing through into doing something slightly different. And Father, I pray that there will be more of that happening, that there will be the discovery of more creativity. Father, we thank you for the increased creativity which is coming out in the kids' work at this time. And Lord, we pray more. We say more. We pray for the spirit of those guys with unpronounceable names in the Old Testament who you filled with your spirit and understanding and gave them all sorts of abilities in crafts. And we pray that that will happen among us. Amen. Okay. What I want to do this morning is to follow on with something which is part of our style, which is part of our ethos, in that we want to increasingly become intentional in what we do. When we discover something that's good, we don't want to freeze it and say, that's good, let's keep on doing it. But we want to move on so that there's a continuing sort of trajectory, that there's a sort of ballistic feeling about what we do so that we're moving forward. And immediately we've got OTT in hand, and we know that if people remember with OTT, there are as many people as we can cope with, and so there's the potential for doing more. What we want to do is to add something to that. Now, I tried a little experiment last time we were in Chippenham, which was about a month ago, and handed some cards out at the beginning suggesting there was a way in which we could add value to what we were doing. And it talked about stopping, being aware of the fact that God was with us and we were doing something in the name of Jesus, looking and seeing what God was doing, and listening to see what God was saying. And I want to go through that this morning. In fact, the reason we're going through it is that when I afterwards asked core team to comment on it, Marion suggested that it was something which didn't, which would benefit from not being pinned down to OTT, but that could work in all of our lives. So that's where I'm going. Okay. I was talking to my mum on Friday night, and she said to me, she said, I had something that happened to me. She said, I bet it's never happened to you. And I said, what's that? And she said that she was in Asda. Couldn't have been Friday, because Friday was Asda Day, and it wasn't that day. But anyway, I was talking to her, and she said that she'd been in Asda, and she'd got to the checkout with her shopping, and there were a couple of people behind her, and reached into her bag to get her credit card out, because she won't put it in her purse. She has it in a separate folder, and found she'd left it at home. And there was no cash there, and not enough cash either. And she was really embarrassed, because she was waiting for them to come back and put all the stuff back on the shelf. Okay, it's never happened to me, but that's more luck than judgment, because I can leave all sorts of cards at home at all sorts of times. My mum, who's a very precise kind of person, that would have agitated her no end, and she knew that of course, it was the man who was behind her in the couple who was getting annoyed. She said she could see that he was rather cross. But then a woman, one step back, leant forward and said, what's going on? And when she heard, she came round, got out her credit card and paid, which amazed my mother, amazed the people on the till who were changing over. And of course my mum waited to speak to her and said, I need you to give me your address so that I can send a cheque to you. Now what I want to know from you is, what happened next?
She said, I don't want it back.
What do you think she said?
Hang on. Somebody else.
She actually didn't say that. Would have been a good thing. What else?
She
What do you think she's... Pardon? She didn't write the address down. She didn't do that. That's what my mum expected she would do. Anybody else got a thought what she might have said?
Give the money to charity.
You could have done that, could she? She didn't say that. She didn't actually use that formula, no.
Put the covered all bases.
Pardon?
Did she think I'll tell you
something? No, she didn't say that either.
She said, I won the Euro Millions.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know what she said?
No.
She said, I'm a boy. One of the things that nobody said is about the possibility of the fact she was doing it because she was Christian. But she didn't say that either. She said, I'm a Buddhist. And we give to people and we don't expect anything in return. And it struck me that, without wanting to criticise other religions, because that's God's business about how other people who follow other religions find him and what happens to them. But as Christians, as people who follow Christ, we are involved in talking about the truth as it is in Jesus. And it's interesting how even when we give stuff away and are involved in acts of kindness, for many people that's undifferentiated. It's what religious people do. And when Jesus came, grace and truth came through the Lord Jesus. And so taking a step up, however kind we are to people, and it's great to be kind, and that's where it starts, there comes a point where truth is involved as well. Where we have to point out that Jesus is the way. And okay, even if you found him as the way, then you need to find him as the truth. And if you found him as the truth, you need to find him as the life. And we've indicated that these three dimensions don't necessarily work all together. And I can see a time coming soon when we're going to have to go trawl through all the stuff we've been talking about over the last couple of years and see how our values are developing in this sort of area. But what I want to do is to pick up a story in the Bible that takes us forward. I think I'm going to read it first and then I'm going to show the video, but we'll see what happens as I start pressing buttons. If the video starts, pull all the curtains quick, guys, because the production is a very old video. Production values on it are not that hot, and so you'll need that to see. I'm starting with John chapter 5, where it says, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. I really, really was interested in that. I was starting to meditate on this week and was sitting there just thinking about the text. And I got with that first sentence and I thought, what was Jesus doing in the meantime? You know, Did he go back to the building site on which he worked? By the way, we always think of Jesus as being a sort of craftsman joiner. It's highly likely that he and most of the other joiners in the area were working at Sepphopolis, which was a new town that was being built on the shores of Galilee at the time when Jesus was around. So don't assume that he was doing that. He may have been one of those guys in a hard hat shinning up the... scaffolding and whistling at the girls as they went apart. Well, you know what I mean. But actually, it's always made me wonder, if you're Jesus and you hit your finger with a hammer, what do you say? That's not very good, is it? We'll get that out of the... But what was he doing, you know? Sort of, was it cup final weekend? Did he go with the lads to watch a match somewhere? Was he just hanging out? By the way, this is worth thinking about, guys. This is where my mind... what was it like, if you were playing football with Jesus, if disciples were playing football, to get one past the Son of God? Yeah? Jesus saves, but not very well. Yeah? You ever thought about the fact that Jesus wasn't good at anything? Everything, anyway. He may have not been good at anything. He may have not been the best at anything. What would it have been like to point out spelling mistakes to the Son of God? He got his grammar wrong. Really, really interesting. Anyway, that's where I was going, but that isn't where I wanted the story to go. So this is one of those stories that's actually anchored in a lot of facts. Now, there is in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. We were in Cyprus a couple of years back, and in Paphos, and one of the things I wanted to do was to go and look at the Roman stuff there. And there's quite a lot of colonnades, and you could just imagine how, in almost complete form, and you could just imagine how it would have been possible to see these guys milling around in that kind of environment. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie: the blind, the lame, and the paralysed. What's next? Here's the story. Draw the curtains, please, if you would.
Jesus saw him lying there, and he knew that the man had been sick for such a long time.
Do you want to get well?
Sir, I don't have anyone here to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. While I'm trying to get in, somebody else gets there first.
Get up. Pick up your mat and walk.
Authorities told the man who had been healed,
"This is the Sabbath, and it is against our law for you to carry your mat." The man who made me well told me to pick up my mat and walk.
Who is the man who told you to do this? But the man who had been healed did not know who Jesus was, for there was a crowd in that place, and Jesus had slipped away. Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple.
"You're well now. So stop saying, or something worse may happen to you."
Then the man left and told the Jewish authorities that it was Jesus who had healed him. So they began to persecute Jesus, because he had done this healing on a Sabbath. Jesus answered them,
"My Father is always working, and I too must work."
This saying made the Jewish authorities all the more determined to kill him. Not only had he broken the Sabbath law, but he had said that God was his own Father, and in this way had made himself equal with God. So Jesus answered them,
"I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing on his own. He does only what he sees his Father doing. What the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows them all that he himself is doing. He will show him even greater things to do than this, and you will all be amazed. Just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, in the same way the Son gives life to those he wants to, nor does the Father himself judge anyone. He has given his Son the full right to judge, so that all will honor the Son in the same way as we honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him.
You can open the curtains again now. I find these things fascinating, you know, sort of people, what I really like, of course, it takes the Bible text and then it puts stuff with it. But we've talked about the fact that this project has sort of hit the skids. What is even more interesting, that it looks as though most of the Book of John is actually up on YouTube. Now, having said that, David has done a huge amount of work recently changing the way we post stuff. And now it's possible for us to post it by email and get it up on all sorts of places, including the Dayspring Facebook page. Do go and find it, and it's not the same as the Dayspring group, and click like and then it will get posted to you. The problem is that you will notice that at the moment there's a lot of stuff up there that's not quite right. This is due to the fact that I also post to this page, and I have this interest in life: never read the instructions, just press buttons till something happens. So I can post stuff which has got wrong spellings, wrong links, links that don't quite work. And you'll find, if you go to Facebook at the moment, very annoyingly, I've said go to this page and watch it, and you can't get there. So David will undo that for me, or at least show me how to undo my own mistakes in Posterous, if he can. One of the important things, that I'm an important tester of the thing, because if something can be tested to the point where it doesn't work, you can guarantee I will do so. But the thing that I wanted to say is, if you watch the rest of this, you can actually see how Jesus really does his nut at this point. You've got all these religious guys around, and you can really work out why they must have absolutely hated him, because he doesn't leave them any room for manoeuvre. But we mustn't go there. We've got to stay within the text, so that's why I cut at this point. Let's go on. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. Then, after that, we've got this sort of little section about the Sabbath. And by the way, we always think of the idea of Sabbath as being a day off. It is not a day off. That's not the important understanding. And even if you read the Old Testament here, you get the idea that God rested from his stuff on the on the seventh day. Here it appears to contradict that, because it talks about a little while later on that my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him. You see, a Sabbath day is a day unto the Lord, and you can have a Sabbath day any day you like, if you choose to live that day to the Lord. And when you think about how Orthodox Jews have a Sabbath day, it's not a day of rest in the way that we would think about. What it is, it's a day unto the Lord. It starts with a very special meal that has to be prepared beforehand. It continues with resting before the Lord. It means that the following morning you get up and you will go to synagogue, and then perhaps go to a class as well. So think of that when you think of Sabbath. The thing that enriches us, the things that brings wholeness, holiness to our life, is living our days as Sabbath to God. But that's, once again, not what I'm supposed to be talking about. What I am supposed to be talking about this is that in the end, Jesus gave them this answer: "Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than this, so that you will be amazed. Now, this is the bit where we as charismatics always come in and say, right, this is the way we're going to walk up to people in wheelchairs, we're going to lay hands on them, and they're going to get better immediately, they're going to get out of their wheelchairs. Well, please God, sometimes that will happen. A lot of times it won't. We posted a little story this week around. Last Sunday was a really important Sunday for us, because it was the first of a time when one of the people who we've made contact with on the bus has said they want to more frequently come along to Dayspring. And Betty, the lady in the wheelchair, she's got a great story because she's been around so many years. She was there in the meeting, and at break time, she took herself off to be prayed for. They got Millie to wheel her across, and Marion and Ian prayed for her. And still on Tuesday, she was saying that her knee was less painful than it was. Now, that's not somebody getting up and walking, but I tell you what, if you've got a painful knee and you're 90 and you're really stuck, then having a remission in pain is well worth being prayed for, if you know what I mean. And I want to say that's great. Because this sort of leads on to just reminding ourselves of some of our values in this missional area, which we cluster together under this idea of doable evangelism. Okay? Now, let's see if we can make a list of these. I've been practicing. I know it's really difficult. Those of you who have been through these with us over the past couple of years, what are the elements? What are the breakdown of values in this area? What are they? Pardon? Count what counts, I think you're after. Hang on, let's put this one. And then you mentioned that you've combined two. That's really what's happened. And it's do what's doable.
Yeah?
Yeah? And all of these have got a thing. If it's not doable, it won't get done. We say count what counts, but count something.
Say wow.
Say wow.
There's a phrase I read somewhere like this. Step out of the boat.
Yeah. That's... that's where it comes. Do what's doable, but do something. I've got some of these written down. What else we've got? No, we haven't got that one. Conversations, not conversions, in our list. That's a good one, though. Be yourself, but don't indulge yourself. That's another one. Yeah? We emailed all this stuff to you this week, so you had some chances there. That one, be yourself, but I can remember how we got into a real issue over this. You know, we're quite happy for, on occasion, people to have a little shout or a little shake or do the charismatic stuff, because they're all human responses, and sometimes our bodies can't really sort of cope with all that God's doing. But it all gets a bit out of order when we persist in responding in this way, even when it frightens the stuffing out of visitors. And we said, yeah, well, sort of keep it to yourself, keep it under control. It's okay when it's all of us, but, you know, we're not here to make other people feel bad. Because that's not being yourself, that's indulging yourself. You know, I can often say, well, I'm just being myself. We've got the grandchildren round. I am going to do what I want to do anyway. I'm going to read my newspaper. I'm going to watch the telly. That's indulging myself. And actually the balance between being yourself and indulging yourself is one thing that some of us aren't terribly good at. We have to watch this extreme of being able to be real at the same time as not making it difficult for other people. So we've got start small. That was another one. And this, I think, is absolutely critical for us. Start small. You don't pray for anybody who's ill? I would advise you, if you find somebody who's been paralysed for 38 years, that you don't start there. Right? When somebody's ill at home, start there. Start small, but start somewhere. And the final one we've got is exploit the ordinary, but be ready for the extraordinary. Mm. Yeah? We're happy to carry on being ordinary. Conversations, not conversions. But when somebody says, I want to follow Jesus, we don't say, I'm sorry, we only do conversations, not conversions. Yeah? You get on into that. Well, look, guys, enough is enough. We can't spend the rest of our lives keep on forgetting this stuff, because we want to move on to articulate some other things in this area. And Marion's done a brilliant job of knocking these things out as cards. Now, because they're in plastic, that does not mean they are to be held from everlasting unto everlasting. They've probably got a life of about 6 months before something's developed and changed. And in fact, I can already see something on here that, as a result of thinking about this week, I'd like to make different. But pass these round, okay? They're sort of got sharp enough corners for you to clean your teeth with, open cassette, open CD covers, all those sort of things. We haven't finished yet. We've got to quickly go through the card, because what I want you to do is to look at the other side. Okay? And this is what we put out the other day. Hey, actually, if you've got one, is there a spare one? I've got one. I've got a, come on, there must be a spare one left somewhere. Where? So, okay. On the other side. I need this. Now, here's a routine. Let's sort of play this out. Most of you have been involved with us on OTT. You know what happens. We just go out and we offer people drinks or sweets or something, and say we've got a big sign that says it's free. And when we've given the drinks out, we just are very happy for people to respond. Sometimes they try and give us money. We say, no, you can't do that. If they say to us, give it to your favourite charity, we say, no, you give it to your favourite charity, you know, sort of, because we're just giving something as a sample of the love of God. And we're all the time wanting to understand how we can take it further. And sometimes people get into conversations with us, and sometimes it ends up with us having the possibility of saying a prayer for somebody. And that's always great when it happens. Doesn't happen every time, but there are opportunities. And as you know, we've recently had a guy who actually came along on a Sunday, and who knows, but next time we see him, we may ask him to come again, and he may come again, because these things happen as a process. So stop. When you get there and you're doing OTT, and when you're going to pick your kids up from school, and when you're going to get a drink from the water cooler at work, then just find a moment or two to stop and say, God is at work here. You know, I'm still having having a real struggle of being aware of the presence of God. I can pray, but not be aware of the presence of God. I can study the scriptures and not be aware of the presence of God. And I'm trying to get into the routine of, in the morning, hit the alarm, sit up, turn round so my feet hit the floor, and then take a moment or two to be aware of the presence of God. No good trying to do it while I'm still laying down, because you know what happens then. But it's trying to find some point of the day of just saying, Lord, this is my day with you, which was what was built into Rolf's song this morning, giving up our life to God and being aware of God's presence. So we take time to be aware of of the Father at work, because that was the clue to how Jesus worked. Bear in mind that he gave away all his God stuff. All right? He didn't have any special route to the Father, because if he did, we can't follow in his footsteps. Somehow, he just didn't need all the refining that we did, even though he learned obedience by the things he suffered. But whatever the Son, whatever the Father does, the Son also does, because Jesus had got to that point where his communication wasn't intermittent and occasional like mine is, but it was continuous. And so if I'm going to have any chance of seeing what God's doing, I've got to stop and be aware of God. And not just being in that thing, all right, what we do is we give away drinks and we do this and we have conversations with people and at 12:30 we go home again and say we've had a good morning. Now there's something about stopping and being aware of God. Then there's the second bit, and different people have different ways of doing this, but when you're standing there at the water cooler, or you're walking past other people's desks, or you're waiting for your children to come out of school, or you're on OTT, then just be aware. Try looking. And seeing if there's anybody who you're drawn to, who you feel as though God wants to touch. You know how sometimes you get that weird sense, and it is weird, of the fact there's somebody who's got a problem, or is really worn out, or has got a big decision to make. That sort of awareness is something we cultivate as we look. And of course, sometimes you'll miss it because we're only percentage people. You know, there are some people who think they've got the gift of discerning demons. And I'm convinced in about 50% of the cases, it's just that those people are paranoid. Yeah? You know, you can sometimes see all sorts of negative things in people. And of course, the other thing that happens is if we're feeling particularly down and adrift, we'll see people who we think have got the same issues as we have as well. But in among all of that mess, because we don't communicate clearly, in amongst all that noise, there are going to be people who are going to feel as though, I really want to go to this person and to offer them something. And you'll do that, and sometimes there'll be a connection. Okay? So that's what I'm looking for. If you put it at the high level, it's really difficult. If you put it at another level, which fits in with here, okay, is something we can all do. Because it was very evident this morning as you guys were singing those songs about All for Jesus and Purify My Heart, is that you were deadly serious about that. And if we're deadly serious about this stuff, then God will make it happen for us. And then the third thing is to listen. As you meet and greet, is this Spirit giving you words for this person who God loves? Do you know, sometimes I've found, and you use examples like this, that the obvious thing has been to talk to somebody about their grandchildren. You know, they've got an older person who's carrying a toy. You don't have to hear a word from the Lord to know where to start the conversation. And I've also found myself just drifting into a conversation about somebody's wedding. You know? Quite often when you meet people on the town, they'll talk to you about the fact they've come from somewhere and they like visiting Chippenham. What's your connection with Chippenham? We get most amazing. There are people who live in Swindon and come to do their shopping in Chippenham because they prefer Chippenham. You find people who live in Wotton Bassett who have to escape from Wotton Bassett to Chippenham. It turns out to be a major metropolis, as Chippenham. You know, sort of, they come because they want six different kinds of coffee during the course of the morning and to visit several estate agents and a few people who can offer them a mortgage. Nothing else they're going to buy in Chippenham, but they do that sort of stuff. But it leads to other conversations. And sometimes you've got to put a thing in and you'll ask somebody a question out of the blue, and they say, yeah, you know, that's me. And that happens in other parts of our life as well if we start with being aware of God. You see, the thing is that it's not about getting the same results as Jesus got here. And that's the problem. We don't live our lives like that. Because really interesting that when it came to evaluating people at the end of the world in Matthew 25, Jesus says it's about how you gave a drink, how you visited people in prison, how you did all these little things, even though he did the big stuff. Really interesting, Jesus never handed out drinks of water, did he? And he never went to visit people in prison, as far as we know, except he might have done that when if he wasn't playing football on the days that he was off. You remember I talked about this earlier. But they're the kind of things that he's talking about with us. And quite often it will be in the giving a drink. It will be asking somebody at work what their weekend was like. It will be in talking to somebody at the school gates about how life's going and whether they're very busy and how their relatives are, that there be the chance to bring words of life. And that will only happen if we're not preoccupied with all our stuff. If, as Carol said this morning, we're living in the moment, we're in the here and now, and we're trusting God to help us. Now, I am really interested in bringing this down to practicality for all of us. It's all about, as we say, it's all about living. It's where the rubber meets the road. It's about what can happen in our normal, everyday lives. You know, we would sometimes like to think that this is really high-powered. Last Sunday, in the middle of the afternoon, I got up and went into our cloakroom. And almost immediately, I heard this voice saying, "When it is safe to do so, please turn round." I was just thinking, I've only been in here a second. Give us a chance, mate. Or give us a chance, madam, as it was, which made it even worse. What had happened is that I had just been downloading TomTom for my iPhone and had set it up to do a trip. And because of my tendency to push buttons, I still can't turn the wretched thing off. I'd put it in my pocket, and it had started to provide a commentary on my every movement. Right? You walk into the kitchen, when it is safe to do so, please turn round. You're not going the right direction for Bristol Airport. Now, we would like life to be like this, wouldn't we? Where every single move we make, we're going to be absolutely there. I'm a long way off from there. I guess Julia was inferring she's a long way off from there. There's the refinement we need. But I think there are going to be times, if we give ourselves to it, where these things could break through. Now look, yeah.
Take 30 seconds to share something, because it's absolutely bang on. I was in the library on Thursday to have a one-on-one session with a student. She didn't turn up. There was a lady sitting on the table, and she had a book in front of her. So I said, what are you studying? She said, I'm studying English. I said, oh, what is your normal language? She said, Portuguese. And to cut it short, 2 hours later, we had a long chat, a cup of coffee in the Angel, and she told me I was the second person in England to speak to her, since she'd been there. And that she is staying over here for 6 months to learn English before she goes back to Brazil. And she has a connection with a Brazilian community that actually is in Chippenham. There's a group of Brazilians who live in Chippenham. And the last thing she said to me was, when are you next in the library again? And so I'm praying for God to help me to understand what is going on here. But I just thought it ties into what you were saying, just by answering a simple question.
Okay, well, it takes quite a nerve to start a conversation in the library. Does it take more nerve or less nerve for us to do it among ourselves? Because this is part of the process. I wonder if you were to stop for a moment to be aware of the fact, you can actually feel the tension rising, can't you, just straight away here, if the fact that God could speak through you this morning. What we're going to do is we're going to pray and we're going to finish. And here's my challenge. Before you go this morning, just go through that process. Take a minute to look around, okay, after you've been aware of God. We'll pray in the stopping. And is there somebody here who God particularly wants to pour his love on, to show that he loves this morning? Is there something that God wants to say to somebody? And if you find that, guys, go do it. Go share. Could be that you make a connection with somebody. It could be that you get an impression that it's really important to say a particular thing to somebody, and you feel, no, I couldn't say that. And what's happened is that somebody else has said it to them, and they're just wondering whether God really wants to speak to them. And if you went to talk to them, it would hammer it home. I can't tell you how many times I've found in my life that somebody's had something to say to me that could really help me, and they've felt they couldn't do it. And after the event, they've come and said, oh, do you know, I knew that was going to happen to you, and I've really wanted to shake them till their teeth came out because I needed it so much at the time. So it's a privilege. There's a responsibility. Okay, let's pray. And then over the next 10, 15 minutes, as you're doing your stuff, let's see if we can stop, look, listen. And if it works, promise you'll come and tell me. Because I need encouragement too. Let's pray. Father, we look forward to the day when perhaps somebody who's been stuck for 38 years gets healed through the agency of somebody who exercises faith among us. In the meantime, we want to do our best to hear what you're saying and to follow it. And Lord, we pray that now as we are aware of the moment, and in the next 10, 15 minutes as we're getting coffee, are just here and now in the time that you've given us, that you will open our eyes so that our eyes will be like the eyes of Jesus, and we'll see things, we'll be aware of stuff, and that we'll go on to listen and to find out if there's a word. So Lord, we pray that there be this great festival, or this little festival, let's not get too extreme, of people doing what Jesus did in the way that he did, and being a part of a community that blesses one another. Amen. Okay, take your card, do the stuff, let's see what happens.